So here's something really interesting I learned about chlorine dioxide when I was actually studying to teach my new course on genetic survival, which is called Unbreakable, by the way. And it begins streaming this Saturday at geneticsurvival.com if you want to check it out. A very powerful course. But what I learned is that, you know, your body produces a lot of reactive oxygen species molecules. Those are called ROS, just through normal metabolism. So a reactive oxygen species molecule, it's an oxidizing molecule that will damage or denature some other tissue or pathogen in your body, but it can also damage your DNA. So the very reason that your body has all this amazing nanotechnology to constantly repair DNA, billions of times a day, by the way, your body's naturally doing that when you're healthy. You're repairing little DNA lesions, little problems, little glitches, let's say, because those glitches are caused by the byproducts of normal cellular metabolism. And this is one of the reasons why dietary antioxidants are so important, because an antioxidant, if you think about it, it blocks the oxidation. So it is literally an antioxidizer or an antioxidant. And that's important to have. You know, vitamin C would be one, and there are many, many others, right? All kinds of, you know, bioflavonoids and carotenoids and whatever, different kinds of plant nutrients that have different levels of antioxidant capabilities. But chlorine dioxide is an oxidizer. So you might be wondering, well, why would I take chlorine dioxide as an oxidizer if I also want to take antioxidants? So it's important to understand the biochemistry here. Chlorine dioxide will wipe out your antioxidants that are circulating in your blood. And I've talked about this before, how chlorine dioxide wipes out your vitamin C, for example. And that's why after a chlorine dioxide treatment, you know, some, like an hour later or something, you would want to strongly replenish your vitamin C. And vitamin C is a good choice for this because it's water soluble, it circulates quickly, gets into your blood supply quickly. But make no mistake, when you take chlorine dioxide internally, if you ever choose to do that, and I've done it before, I don't do it very often. I've only done it when I've had pretty extreme symptoms, for example. If you take that internally, it is absolutely going to wipe out your antioxidants, and it's going to cause some level of DNA damage that is repairable, but the damage is going to be done. There's going to be some DNA lesions, for example. There's going to be some, you know, maybe some single strand breaks or whatever. Now, remember, your body knows how to repair that, and it does so on a regular basis, but only if you have the right nutrients. So you need, for example, coenzyme mineral factors, zinc being one of the key ones. And if you don't have zinc, then you should never take chlorine dioxide. See, that's something I learned in this course, that if you don't have enough zinc, you can't repair the DNA damage caused by chlorine dioxide, even though chlorine dioxide itself is very good at destroying all kinds of pathogens and foreign proteins and, you know, many different bad things that can be in your blood. Chlorine dioxide oxidizes them and denatures them and destroys them. And that's a good thing. If your blood or if your body is being overrun with, you know, infectious bacteria, for example, or fungi or mold spores or, you know, spike protein fragments or all kinds of other things, chlorine dioxide can do wonders for you. But it's also kind of like carpet bombing your blood with an oxidizing agent. So there's going to be, just like if you carpet bomb a battlefield, there's going to be some damage from that. You know, some buildings are going to need some repair. Some roads are going to need some repair, etc. Same thing is true in your body. If you carpet bomb your body with chlorine dioxide, which sometimes makes good sense, if there's a runaway infection taking place, then you need to rebuild. You need to restore the antioxidants as quickly as possible after that. So there's what I would call a pre-chlorine dioxide nutritional regimen that I strongly recommend, which is to make sure that you are loaded up with sufficient levels of zinc and magnesium and selenium. And it's a really great idea to have plenty of sulforaphane from cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, sprouts, for example. It's a great idea to have anthocyanins, which are the dark pigments in plants like berries and so on. It's a great idea to be taking chlorella, spirulina, and astaxanthin, which are the three microalgae that are the most important for genetic repair. And it's a great idea, well, frankly, listen to my course because I cover all of it there, geneticsurvival.com. And if you front load your diet for a couple of days, you know, really, ideally, you would be taking these things on a regular basis, the things that support DNA repair. And ideally, you wouldn't be zinc deficient. And ideally, you wouldn't be magnesium deficient or selenium deficient, etc. But most people are, most of the time. So for those people, if they take chlorine dioxide, they will be unable to repair the gene damage that results from the chlorine dioxide oxidizing things. Because oxidation is one of the mechanisms of damaging base pairs or nucleotides, as they're called, on your chromosomes. And it's not a big deal if you have a fully functioning repair system in place, which requires zinc and magnesium and these other things that I mentioned. But it is a big deal if you don't have repair mechanisms working. So make sure that before you were to ever take chlorine dioxide, and I'm not saying that you should, by the way, I'm not your doctor, you know, this is not medical advice, don't take it that way. And talk to your own naturopath, you know, decide what's right for you. And again, I have taken it a few times, but I don't take it routinely. And I don't think that chlorine dioxide should be used as a daily supplement because it's an oxidizing agent, you know. It will leave you vitamin D deficient if you take it all the time. But in certain cases, I believe it can be useful, but I'm not telling you to take it. You make up your own mind and do your own research. But if you do take it, then make sure after you take it, and I would guess about an hour after you take it, because you know it acts very quickly. An hour after you take it, or at the most, maybe 2 hours after you take it, replenish vitamin C. How much should you replenish? Well, as a nutritionist, I would say at minimum 500 milligrams, although you may not be able to absorb all of that in your intestines, but I would tend to sort of take a higher dose because you know your vitamin C depleted. And if there's any doubt, just take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which is still considered a fairly mild dose. I mean, some people who mega dose on vitamin C, they'll take 20,000 milligrams. But that'll probably cause diarrhea, and most of that's wasted because you can't even really absorb that. So maybe 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams would be more reasonable, but do your own research on it. Nevertheless, after chlorine dioxide taken internally, you must replenish your antioxidants. So I'm interrupting my own podcast here because after I recorded what you just heard, I was thinking about something really critical that I learned in the new course that I'm putting out called Genetic Survival. And it was about the chemistry properties of astaxanthin. And I want to show you actually on the screen right now. Let me show you this picture, one of the diagrams from the course, because there's something really critical here that just instantly clicked. Check this out. So in the center of the slide here, sort of the vertical orange molecule chain, that's astaxanthin. And what's really unique about astaxanthin is that one portion of it, which is the center portion, is fat soluble, let's say. It has affinity for lipids. And then on the ends, it has affinity for water. And this is kind of unusual in molecules. It's not unheard of, but it is unusual. As a result, astaxanthin, each molecule can embed itself into the outer membrane of each of your cells. And as it's embedded in the outer membrane of your cells, it is able to block, or let's say nullify, free radicals as they're trying to enter your cells, but before they can penetrate through the cell membrane. So what astaxanthin is actually really, I guess you could say, famous for is being able to sit in, let's say, with 1 foot in the cell, 1 foot outside the cell, and blocking the free radicals before they can enter your cell and cause damage inside your cell nucleus, damaging your DNA, for example, with oxidation and other factors. So what this means, and you can even see in this graphic, it shows lipid peroxidation. That's kind of like a fire. That's an oxidation of lipids. And that's blocked by astaxanthin, as well as the free radicals or the reactive oxygen species. So it occurred to me that if somebody takes chlorine dioxide, but if they take astaxanthin first, then the astaxanthin would, let's say, nullify the chlorine dioxide oxidizing molecules before they can enter your cells. But the chlorine dioxide would still be free to circulate throughout your blood, where it would oxidize other things that it encounters in your blood, which could include, of course, various pathogens or various spike protein fragments or other things like that. Now, yes, it's also going to oxidize some number of red blood cells along the way, but you're constantly remaking those, so that's not actually a huge deal. And remember that your red blood cells don't have DNA, so there's no DNA damage to red blood cells. You know, red blood cells are basically, you know, disposable. That's the way your body sees them. That's why it's always eliminating them and remaking them. So this lays down a very interesting strategy, which I was not even aware of, is that if you were to take chlorine dioxide, before you do so, make sure you saturate your body's cells with a sufficient level of astaxanthin. And that might be 12 milligrams or even more, maybe 24 milligrams. Again, the dosage depends on a lot of factors, so check with your naturopathic physician, let's say. But I would take probably 24 milligrams, which seems like a lot, but this is a special case because you're going to burn through a lot of that astaxanthin as the chlorine dioxide gets nullified encountering your cell membranes. But this protects your cell nuclei and also, you know, other organelles inside your cells from the free radicals. You know, protects your ribosomes, for example, protects your mitochondria. So this is actually really great to know, because you don't want to completely disable the chlorine dioxide that's freely circulating in your blood, because you want it to do its job there. You want it to oxidize pathogens that it encounters in your blood. And if you're high dosing vitamin C, then you're actually just counteracting the chlorine dioxide. You know, if you drink some number of drops of chlorine dioxide and you take vitamin C, you're just performing an expensive chemistry experiment of oxidizing and then antioxidizing. You're basically wasting your money on both counts if you do both of those things together. But if you take astaxanthin first, then what happens is the chlorine dioxide is, its oxidation capability is focused outside your cells, in the circulating blood, where the pathogens normally would be found. So what a great strategy. Now, I do want to add a couple of words of caution. This is just my understanding from studying the biochemistry. I'm not aware of any particular published studies that have documented this or tracked it or demonstrated it. So I can't point to absolute proof that it works the way I think it does. However, this makes a lot of sense to me, and this is the way that I'll do it in the future. Whether or not you want to do it this way, obviously completely up to you. You may want to do your own research. You may want to talk to your own, you know, naturopathic physician, what have you. And those are all smart things to do. But if you find yourself in a
an extreme case of suffering an infection that seems to be out of control, and if you decide to take chlorine dioxide internally, then this is a strategy that you may very well want to consider, which is just taking astaxanthin. And remember, take it with lipids. So you want to take it with, for example, a fish oil supplement, or take it with food that has natural fats in it, natural oils. Healthy oils would obviously be ideal for this case. And what I will do, and what I recommend that you at least consider, would be combining it with vitamin E, because vitamin E is also a fat-soluble cell membrane-protecting antioxidant. It's well known for that. It doesn't have these same extraordinary properties that astaxanthin has. And of course, astaxanthin is, I think the number is hundreds of times more potent than vitamin E, gram per gram, in terms of its antioxidant capacity. But there's absolutely no harm in taking vitamin E. And in fact, vitamin E is known to be very synergistic with astaxanthin. Now, in this case, if you're trying to use an oxidizing agent at, again, pretty low dosages inside your body, which by itself should be ringing alarm bells in anybody who knows biochemistry, this is something that a person needs to really consider. Like, where is this appropriate? Because it's only in certain limited cases internally that it would actually be appropriate. In most cases, it's probably not the right answer, but in extreme cases, it could be life-saving. It could be very, very helpful. But if you decide to do that, then understanding how these different antioxidants work, which ones are water-soluble and circulating in your blood, like vitamin C, versus which ones are fat-soluble or have natural affinity to lipids, such as astaxanthin, How will those defend your cells against the oxidizing agent? So these, in my view, these are really important things to understand before you would even consider taking chlorine dioxide internally. So in molecular chemistry, these kinds of molecules are described as, the fat-soluble or fat-affinity molecules. They're known as lipophilic molecules, which really describes their affinity for oils and lipids and fats. And again, astaxanthin has this unique, almost a bipolar property, like literally, except the affinity for liquids is located midsection on the molecule, and the affinity for water is located on the ends. So if you ask an AI engine, I'm doing this right now, I'm just asking the Brave AI engine about the molecular structure of astaxanthin. Here's what the Brave AI engine says. Astaxanthin possesses a unique amphiphilic molecular structure. That's what we're describing here, that allows it to span cell membranes, protecting both the lipid bilayer and the surrounding aqueous environments. That's the water environments. This dual affinity is driven by its distinct polar and nonpolar regions, which orient themselves differently depending on the solvent context. See, this is how it can have one foot in your cell and one foot out, and it can protect the cell membrane itself. The answer goes on. It says hydrophilic ends. So the molecule features terminal, hydroxyl, and keto groups that are polar and water soluble. So hydrophilic means affinity for water. These groups anchor into the watery environments on either side of the cell membrane or interact with the hydrophilic heads of phospholipids. And then it has a hydrophobic core. So remember, hydrophobic means afraid of water, you know, like a phobia. So hydrophobic means afraid of water. So it says the central polyene chain is highly lipophilic and nonpolar. This region aligns with the fatty hydrophobic interior of the lipid bilayer, allowing the molecule to insert itself deeply into membranes. See, that's exactly what I was just talking about. And then it says membrane spanning. Because of the structure, astaxanthin acts like a molecular rivet, bridging the entire width of the phospholipid bilayer. That's the outer membrane of your cells. This enables it to neutralize free radicals across both the aqueous and lipid phases of the cell, a capability not shared by many other carotenoids that are either strictly water-soluble or lipid-soluble. So, to put it another way, astaxanthin is a very unique molecule in how it protects your cells from water-soluble reactive oxygen molecules that would otherwise penetrate your cell membranes and cause a lot of damage inside your cells. So pretty interesting to know this, actually. I'm glad I remembered this from the course, because no one else has ever told me this. I've never read this anywhere. Have you? I mean, I've heard people say that after you take chlorine dioxide, make sure you replenish vitamin C sometime later, maybe an hour or two. But I've never heard anyone say you could preload with astaxanthin to protect your cells while letting chlorine dioxide do its job, oxidizing pathogens in your blood. So very interesting information here. Again, final caution, this is not a clinical trial, okay? So things may behave differently in the real world versus what I'm thinking here, but still, this is good information to know, but it does merit further study and an actual clinical study at some point as well. All right, now, the slide that I have been showing you here, this is one slide of hundreds of slides that are part of my new free course that's called Unbreakable, and it's found at geneticsurvival.com. And that course begins airing for free this Saturday, August 29th, at brightu.com. That's the word bright, followed by the letter U. Or you can just find it through geneticsurvival.com. And this free course, which is over 20 hours of audio, teaches you how to survive both spike toxin shedding, because there's a lot of mRNA is coming now, but also how to survive radioisotope fallout following nuclear war or nuclear terrorism, or even higher levels of background ionizing radiation. So it's an extremely valuable course that goes into great detail, and it has hundreds of visual slides like this, teaching slides. These are like academic diagrams that you might find in college textbooks, but my AI system that I built is able to produce these by the hundreds, so that as you're listening to each chapter of this course, which gives you specific nutrients, specific strategies, front-loading strategies, things you can grow, how to recognize the right foods and the right pigments and the right sources of the exact nutrients that will boost your genetic defenses and genetic repair mechanisms, both. But I give you all that information for free in the course that's at geneticsurvival.com. And from my perspective, this is the single most important and most comprehensive course or book that I've ever put together. And it's a game changer. This is the kind of information that can quite literally save your life. So check it out. Again, there's no cost, although you can optionally purchase it and download all the files and support us that way. Or you could just watch the whole thing for free at brightu.com. And then where there's one chapter each day that's on a continuous loop for that day. So there are 13 chapters. So the thing runs for 13 days, starting this Saturday. So again, check it out at geneticsurvival.com. You'll learn a lot, and I can't wait to share this information with you. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Take care. You can now register to watch my new free course, Unbreakable, at geneticsurvival.com. And if you go to that website right now, it'll click you over to BrightU, where you can register to watch the course for free. Unbreakable, Secrets to Genetic Survival in the Age of Spike Shedding and Nuclear Fallout. Now, this is the single most comprehensive and most important course I've ever made available, I've ever assembled. I did a tremendous amount of research. It's over 20 hours of audio, and it's fully illustrated. So let me show you one of the slides that's actually part of this course. If you look at this slide right now, this is just one of the hundreds of illustrations. This one
targeted dietary strategies for enhancing genetic repair. As this slide shows you there, you have parsley and celery, which are really strong natural sources of a molecule called apigenin that's really supportive of NAD plus production, which is part of the energy for your DNA repair. And, you know, this is just one slide of hundreds. And in this course, you will learn exactly which foods, which nutrients, including some foods that you can grow yourself at home. One of them you can just grow in a mason jar as sprouts. And it contains a very powerful nutrient that helps you repair genetic damage. Now, for me, even as a nutritionist, as the health major, this course was a breakthrough, even researching it and learning and finding out some of the secrets that I didn't even know. And also some of the pitfalls, if you don't repair your genetic damage, if you allow these DNA lesions to persist, then there are three main bad things that will happen. One is turbo cancer, because unrepaired DNA, like here, let me show you on this model, because unrepaired DNA damage, those can be DNA lesions, they can be translocations, excisions, etc., or additions, adductions, lots of things. If they are unrepaired and then your cell divides, now you can have cancer and you can have a tumor that starts growing, because it can even suppress, DNA damage can suppress the genes that suppress cancer tumor growth. If those genes get turned off because of the damage from even 5G exposure or ionizing radiation exposure or chemical exposure or spike protein suppression or many other things, then you'll start growing tumors like crazy. That's called turbo cancer. If you don't repair your DNA, you'll get turbo cancer, you'll also get immune system collapse, and you'll get accelerated aging. You'll just start to look much older, much more quickly than you should. But if you repair your DNA, and again, I teach you how to do that for free at geneticsurvival.com. If you repair your DNA, then you're going to age normally in a healthy fashion. You're going to look much younger than somebody who has accelerated aging, right? You're going to have intact DNA. You're going to have better reproduction, because some of these traits, the DNA damage is heritable. It affects your germ cells. So if you ever want to have children who are themselves able to have children, then you need to learn the information in this course to repair DNA damage before it gets passed on. And there are also some very simple nutritional approaches and some specific protections against even ionizing radiation fallout and radioisotopes like iodine-131, cesium-137, strontium-90, or isotopes of plutonium and uranium. And all those different radioisotopes can emit either gamma or beta radiation or alpha particles that are internal emitters if you inhale them. I can teach you how to defend yourself against all those things. This is well documented, actually. It's well reflected in the biochemistry literature, medical literature, physics literature, etc. I had hundreds of AI agents scour the entirety of human knowledge of science and nutrition, like literally scouring over 100 million science papers, to pull together the information that I have condensed into this 20-hour illustrated free course called Unbreakable. And you can register for it, watch it all completely free at geneticsurvival.com. This course can save your life. It's something to watch and it's something to share with someone who you care about. And I've made it free because I want as many people as possible to learn this information, because I care about humanity. I want you to be able to have healthy children. I want you to be able to protect your own health and avoid the pitfalls of DNA damage, because we're on the verge potentially of more nuclear war or nuclear terrorism. You know, there's more 5G towers and electropollution and forms of non-ionizing radiation that will still produce highly reactive molecules in your blood, like peroxynitrite, for example, that can cause permanent DNA damage in your cells. But again, there are simple nutritional solutions that can protect you against both the damage and that can encourage and accelerate your body's natural repair technology. It's a nanotechnology that you were born with. But in order for that nanotech to work, to repair your own genes, you have to have the right minerals. You have to have the right nutrients. For example, one of those minerals is zinc. And yet the vast majority of people are deficient in zinc. And so they can't repair the genetic damage, even though they have the technology for it.
they don't have the coenzyme factors like zinc that are necessary for that repair machinery to be able to function. So check it out again. It's called Unbreakable: Secrets to Genetic Survival in the Age of Spike Shedding and Nuclear Fallout. It's completely free. It's over 20 hours. It's fully illustrated. I recorded the entire course myself. I really enjoyed presenting this course. It's the most important thing I've ever put together, and I think you'll find tremendous benefits from it. You'll love the course. You'll learn a lot, and it's life-saving information, and it's free. So check it out at geneticsurvival.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.